Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are myself, Garrett Wong, and my co-host, none other than Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil.
Woohoo! Wow. You made it sound like I was going to be a surprise. Like, none other than, you'll never guess, McNeil.
It is a bit of a surprise, sir. You have some new news to share.
I do. I am an engaged man now. I am engaged to matrimony. Yes, you are I am.
Yes, engaged you are. Engaged you are.
A New Year's Eve surprise for Rebecca. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting.
I love that. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. Yeah. I'll keep everybody updated along the journey as we go for updates on plans, planning, all of the excitement, the nuptials. But yes, I'm very, very excited.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Just so everyone knows, Robbie was trying to call me the evening that he actually made the proposal. He was trying to call to myself and Megan just to let us know that it had happened. And we both got messages, but we didn't look at them until way later. And we were like, oh, crap. So the next morning is when we found out. And it's so funny because Robbie ends up calling me on FaceTime, like video, which he never does. And I'm like, what is he doing? Like, I'm still in bed, right? So then he calls, and then I'm like, look, I call him back on audio. Yeah. I got my hair, I got bedhead or whatever. I don't want to answer with video. And he says, well, I need to show you something. I'm like, what does that mean?
So you were very reluctantly put on the video.
I reluctantly put on the video. And yeah, then of course the announcement came on, and then of course my bedhead didn't matter at all at that point, you know, so it was good. So I was very excited to hear the news. This week's episode is Tuvix. We're going to be going over Tuvix, one of my favorite. I enjoyed this episode a lot.
Yeah. So. I remember filming this episode.
Oh,
but yeah, I'm excited. Okay. I'm excited to see it. Yeah.
Very cool. All right. So let's go watch this episode and we'll be
it's
right
been
back.
A while. I'm excited. Okay. Let's Me go too. Watch it.
We are back.
Wow. I don't know if I'm sad or happy or
sad.
That's a very complicated episode. You know?
It is.
Yeah,
it really is. Oh my God. Well, first of all, on a lighter note, I just want to show you my shirt. Okay.
Oh yeah. Let's see. Oh, Admiral Kim's nice.
Right. So for those of you that are just listening, I have a black t-shirt with white lettering on there. It says San Francisco. There's a Golden Gate Bridge at the top and San Francisco underneath. And then in cursive, it says Admiral Kim's Bar and Grill. And this is a gift from Marina Kravchuk, one of our Patreon patrons, and someone that was on the Star Trek cruise, and a fan that I've been in contact with for a while now. I've known of Marina for quite some time. This refers to my story that I've made up when fans ask me, like, what happened to Harry? And I said, well, look, it's simple. Harry never gets promoted. So that's why he quits Starfleet. He's very upset for not getting promoted and he quits Starfleet, but yet he rents out the retail space right next to Starfleet headquarters in San Francisco and opens up Admiral Kim's Bar and Grill is what I tell him. Where only ensigns or lower get a discount. Everybody else doesn't get one.
So. Oh, very clever.
Yes.
Very clever. Nice.
Yeah.
I like that shirt.
Yeah, it's a cool shirt. And it was from
Just
so you know, it's from the Guac and Fries group. This is a group that started by Megan, basically, of people that were on the Star Trek cruise. And we had a secret Santa, but we called it the secret Spock Christmas kind of giveaway thing. So my haiku synopsis of Tuvix is Tuvok and Neelix merged into one. It's Tuvix. Janeway separates.
That's pretty clear. That's pretty clear what happened. Wow. Okay. Thank you for that deep, profound haiku. Now I'm going to give you a limerick.
Okay. Before you give it to us.
Yes.
What percentage is Robbie? What percentage is Rebecca?
I would say this is about 80-20 me.
Ooh.
1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. I'd say this is about 80-20 me. Okay. Here we go. Tuvok and Neelix become one. The new guy on board is quite fun. Tuvix doesn't want to comply when he learned he must die. By herself, Janeway gets the job done.
That's good.
Mm. That's the limerick. That's. I think we synopsized it very well with our short little
poetic odes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sad again.
I know. It's sad. Let's just dive right into it. Who wrote and directed this one?
This was written by the story is by Andrew Shepherd Price and Mark Gaberman. Teleplay is by Ken Biller, directed by the late Cliff Bowl. So Cliff directed this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always love when Cliff was there.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. What's your overall impression of this? I'll give you my overall in a
second. Yeah. It's weird because I don't remember it ending the way it did.
Yeah, me neither.
I remember
that was a discussion as we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. I remember that Janeway had to make a choice. I just didn't remember the tone of it being so abrupt and sad and desperate my overall impression of this episode is I think it was really bad for Janeway. I think it put her into a position to where she had to do something bad, but the alternative was also bad. There was absolutely no winner here. There was no. And I wish that they could have found a way that this decision could have sort of revealed itself to be a natural decision rather than Janeway sort of deciding it in such a dramatic way and then forcing it as you know, we're jumping to the end, but forcing it onto Tuvix as he pleaded so eloquently and emotionally and in every way. I just thought it was really, it was very sad, very sad.
It is truly, in Star Trek terminology, a Kobayashi Maru, which is a no-win situation.
Yeah.
I'm really kind of just bummed out right now after watching this. It was just a tough, especially how it ended with I really thought that there was after she leaves sickbay and does the deed of the separation, I thought there was going to be a captain's log of her talking or some voiceover or another scene with Neelix or another scene with Tuvok sitting in the, I thought there was something else after that scene, but there wasn't.
No.
It went right to credits. And I said, wait a minute.
Yeah. And you really didn't get any sense. You know, you got a lot of the sci-fi science of what Tuvix picked up from the merging, but we got no resolution when they were separated again. Does Neelix remember what happened? Does Tuvok remember what happened? Do they have the memories of Tuvix?
The collective memories of Tuvix. Do they or not? Yeah. They should, right? Shouldn't they? I mean, they should.
Yeah.
I would think that they would.
I would think they would, but they don't, we don't, you know, that would have been a nice, I don't know, it would have felt satisfying on some level to know that, at least that our heroes that we know and love had some memory of the sacrifice that was made for them, or even some bonding in a way that Neelix and Tuvok somehow out of this, the gift is that they are connected in a way that that no one else was connected, you know, on our show. But yet,
like after they beam back in and they're separated, they should have hugged or something. You know, there should have been something that we made us feel like, oh my God, there's another connection. There's this deeper connection between Tuvok and Neelix. All right, so this is interesting that we started with the end of the episode, but let's go to the beginning of the
episode. Yeah, let's go back to the top. Okay.
So. Yeah, so they're foraging for orchids, for these plants and everything on the planet. And it's Tuvok and Neelix together foraging. One of my favorite lines was Neelix says to Tuvok, that you're more Tuvokian than normal, which was cute. Good. And then Tuvok at the end says, I wish you would be less like yourself, you know, and not more like yourself at the end.
Well, it was funny because just knowing the title, I think as fans or whatever coming into it, anyone would know, oh, we're headed towards some mashup of these two. Yeah. And so I felt like that first scene sort of amplified their differences, like more than almost more than I've ever seen. Like Neelix was more energetic and positive than I've, you know, maybe ever seen him. And Tuvok seemed more, you know, arrogant and cold and distant than I'm used to seeing him. So those were amplified qualities. I also wondered immediately in the captain's log, she talks about it, but she says they're down there because this may be a new food source. And you know, the planet may have something to help with their food supplies. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense why Neelix might be there, because he knows about food. Although, and we'll get to it later on, but at one point Janeway talks about Tuvok's cooking and being so much better than Neelix's. And I'm like, oh man, why did the writers, they just went after him. People just talk crap about Neelix's cooking so much. So if it's so bad, why did they send him down to the planet to be the guy to pick out the food supply? Anyway.
Very true.
The other thing I thought about as I you know, watched that opening scene of them foraging. And I knew kind of the premise of this episode, but I was like, what if it was a different pair that had been sent down? Like, what if it was, what if it was like B'Elanna and Kes were on the away mission and they got, so you got Bales, or you got Kalana or whatever, Kles.
Kalana. Kalana.
But I was like, oh, that would be fun to go through like the matchups of like who else would
I like Bales. Did Bales. You say Bales? Yeah. Okay, let's go through it. So if it was Tom and Harry, we'd come back as Hom or Terry.
Terry.
Harry or Hom. And then who else? If Chakotay,
Janeway and Chakotay. Janeway and Chakotay went down.
It'd be Chakotay.
Or Chainway.
Chakotay. Chakotay. Chakotay.
The doctor wouldn't work because he's a hologram. So.
Well, if we just called him Doctor. Okay. So Doctor and Neelix, if they went down, then it would be. And let's just say that he wasn't a hologram. Let's say he could be merged. Then that would be
Daleks.
I was going to say Deelix.
Deelix. Okay.
Yeah. And Doctor and with Neelix would be
Nictor.
Nictor. Nictor. Oh my God. Well, what if it was Tom and if it was Tom and Chakotay?
Yeah.
Chakotay.
Chakotay,
or Chakotam.
Chakotam.
Chakotam. Chakotam. There you go.
It would have been interesting to what other people could have been sent on this mission to forage for food. A lot of different combos could have gone down.
It could have been any combo, really.
Yeah. I also like Neelix singing on this away mission, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He remember when he was singing the song? Scene,
yeah. Mm hmm.
Although I don't know if he knew the tune very well, because he seemed to have a different melody the second time he sang it. I was like, wait, that's not the same song you just sang.
What if Tuvok and Kes were down there? Then it would be Kuvok or Tuves.
Or
we could go all day long.
Tuce.
Tuce.
You could go all day long. That's what my mind started going. I'm like, oh my God.
If we bring it Tuvok and Neelix being Tuvoks. Now, what would their new hybrid race species be called? Oh. Would it be a Vulcan and Talaxian? Would it be a Valaxian, a Volcaxian, or a Tolkien, or a Talokan?
I like, what was the first one?
Valaxian, Volcaxian, Tolkien, or Tolokan.
I like Volcaxian.
Volcaxian.
Yeah, okay. Valaxian sounds like an erectile dysfunction medicine.
Sometimes not feeling you yourself have a little lately. Trouble.
You know what you need? Some Valaxian.
You need some Valaxian right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
10 milligrams of Valaxian will get you going. Just what you need. So
it sounds like a pharmaceutical of some kind.
Yeah.
Volcaxian.
Having trouble while dealing with Ponfar, you might need Valaxian. Perfect. All right, so let's go back to the beginning. Yes. We see the scene, they're down on the planet.
Yeah.
Now they're beamed back up, and now we find that there is a minor glitch in the molecular imaging scanners. And I'll be perfectly honest, as I'm watching this, because I don't remember all the details, I thought, am I the reason why Tuvix was born? Did you think that too?
Yes, I did. Because you were like later working on the thing.
Yeah.
And then you say, okay, let's do this.
It's ready to go. Yeah. Yeah, like, thank God we find out it really wasn't me, because everything was operating within normal parameters. Yeah. It was actually the crazy orchid.
Harry was to blame for a minute. I really did.
I'm really, it's a breath of fresh air. I thought that it was my, negligence that caused this.
So. By the way, yeah. And then the next scene in sick bay, when they bring, he shows up on the transporter room, and then he said, I think I better get myself to sick bay. And he heads down there, and you're down there. Harry's down there. But Harry seems extremely suspicious of Tuvix in that scene. Did you notice that? Your performance seemed very like, I don't trust this strange.
Are you talking about in the transporter room or in the sick bay?
In the sick bay. And then you
really?
Left. Yeah.
Oh.
I thought you were extremely unnecessarily suspicious.
Okay.
I thought. All right.
I thought I was unnecessarily suspicious in the transporter room after we figure out who it is.
Yeah,
I was a little
you pulled
too
up the thing. Well, that's what I thought you were playing there, that Harry was like, on guard. This is not Tuvok or Neelix. And then it just doesn't make any sense. And even in sick bay, that sort of spilled over into sick bay.
It carried over.
That
carried over.
You just could not believe your eyes. You could not believe what you just saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I do see that. I really enjoyed seeing that Starfleet uniform.
I was about to say the same thing on my next note, but I was going to let you finish.
Yeah.
The Starfleet uniform was amazing, but I'm sorry. I don't think that's how it works. Like the DNA might get messed up.
But the clothes aren't going to do it.
Re-thread and reweave the fabric with all the things. I don't think that's how science works.
In Star Trek it works that way. In Star Trek Voyager it works that way. I kept saying, why can't all our uniforms look like that? That's a little panache there. It's a little extra flashiness there, right? So I liked it.
So I like the design, and then it had like the I don't know what you call it, the kind of Neelix sort of big decorative pieces along it. It was very cool.
Yeah, good job to Bob Blackman, head of wardrobe, for getting that one together. So that was a good that was a good piece of wardrobe.
Yeah,
I wonder who has that. Somebody's got that. You know that they've auctioned off everything from Voyager at the end.
Oh,
like every uniform except for the two that you pretty much stole. And then Janeway stole hers, but. God,
you're the only one that didn't steal.
Probably so. If I knew now. What I did not know then.
We all were.
I would have stolen two of my own, just like you, and I would have stolen Tuvix's uniform when they comes out of the
Tuvix uniform is cool.
Yeah, the transporter. I don't know.
Stole is a strong word, Garrett.
Okay.
Stole is
you appropriated.
I held on to.
You never let go of them.
I claimed my memories.
You claimed them?
My emotionally bonded. I mean.
Were you a squatter? You have squatter's rights?
Yes, I have squatter's rights on those. I also like literally sweated into these uniforms. I feel like it just wouldn't be right to let anyone ever put on dirty clothes like that I took them home to do my own laundry.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to say stole from now on. I'm just going to say the five-finger discount.
Yes,
that's what you got on that one, okay? Yeah, so I somebody's got that out there. So if anyone knows who has Tuvix's uniform, please email us. Yes. I would like to know. I'm curious. Yes. All right.
I felt very bad for Cass. She seemed very upset initially, you know, off the get-go. It's like she was speechless for quite a bit of that, his first arrival, and mm-hmm. and he was you know, trying to engage her, but she was just could not put words together.
She's in a state of shock.
Yeah. Janeway comes in and Tuvix talks to her and says, you know, you're going to need your most experienced tactical officer on the bridge, and that's me. And then he did this huge eyebrow raise, like a
yes.
Did
yes.
you see that?
Yes. So he did the Tim Russ Tuvok eyebrow raise. He did yes. that. But before he did that, when Janeway asks him, "How are you?" he says, "I feel well." You might even say exhilarated. And right oh, yeah. when he said exhilarated, his body movement, all his physicality was pure Neelix. It was yeah. just like, oh my God, that's Neelix yeah. moving around the way Neelix would move around
yeah.
and speaking in a bit of a Neelix cadence, you know? Yeah. But then he ends it with the Tuvok eyebrow raise.
The Tuvok eyebrow was brilliant. I loved it.
Tom knocked it out of the park. He really did.
Yeah, he did great. I also loved when the doctor came in to talk to Janeway around that time, and the doctor's talking about, well, yes, he has Tuvok's superiority and Neelix's ebullience, he says, yes. so please give him an assignment, any assignment. It was so irritating to the doctor that Tuvix was in. So
I wrote
funny.
That exact quote down. He possesses Tuvok's irritating sense of intellectual superiority and Neelix's annoying ebullience.
Yes.
So that was what. Oh, and then at the end, Tuvix grabs the doctor, just like Neelix would have grabbed the doctor.
Oh, yeah. Of, that's right.
With the one arm hug, uh-huh. whatever that he does, which was very Neelix-esque.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We go to the briefing room next, where we yep. finally learn Harry's off the hook. It's symbiogenesis.
Yes. Thank God. Thank yes. God. I was pissed off
at you, by the way, dude. I was pretty much pissed at you. You know, you said it's good to go and it wasn't. You combined them.
Amen. So. I was pissed at me. Okay. I was pissed at me.
I don't blame you.
Hey, don't forget Tuvix.
Tuvix?
Tuvix. 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 Any luck, Tuvok?
That's Robert Beltran's favorite line that favorite he never had. We would any luck, get Tuvok.
That's how you get a Beltran. That's how you get a Chakotay voice going. Any luck, get Tuvok. Any luck, get Tuvok. So there's a Tuvix compliments Janeway like Neelix does, and yeah. then remember how Ethan Phillips told us that. He always, or at least maybe you told me that Ethan told you that he always played Neelix as if he had a crush on Janeway. Mm. And I'm almost wondering, did he pass that information on to Tom Wright?
Oh, interesting. Maybe. I know that I do remember Tom, as you said before we started watching, he had to do a lot of research. I think he did a lot of research. My memory, as I watched this, I remembered Ethan, and Tim sort of talking mm-hmm. about this episode, because they didn't have a lot to do in it. They had the one away mission scene and then the one sickbay scene, and that was it. Even though it was very much about their characters. So I think
they had a vacation.
they had a big vacation, but they did help Tom. I think they both I remember them talking to me about conversations they had with him.
So let's go back to the briefing room. Yes. And my first note is, I never stand in the briefing room leaning against a chair like that. I think that's the only episode that you ever see Harry leaning against. Harry stands like he's up at the view screen talking about stuff. I don't know. Do you think Cliff Ball sat there and said, Garrett, I need you to lean on this chair? I don't know.
Maybe you were, maybe you leaned in and he's like, yeah, I like that leaning in, the intensity or something. Maybe it got sort of encouraged. Yeah, because it doesn't seem like something you normally do. Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe like we were all sitting down and he got sick of it. He goes like, hey, let's change this up a little bit. Let's have a little different levels going on. Everyone's always sitting down. Why don't you stand up on this one? Why don't you lean on, use the chair as your podium, you know? So it's different. I like it.
Yeah, I think that sometimes on the bridge or in the briefing room or some of our regular sets that we were in a lot, sometimes directors would come in and just do things to be different just because, like, it wasn't necessarily about that particular scene or story or anything other than let's just do something different in here. Like,
yeah. Symbiogenesis is suggested by Tuvix. Yes. But of course he first belts out the word sex like that and then explains himself. And I'm going to tell you right now, please don't take offense. Yes. I am not a fan of Tom's hair in this briefing room scene.
Really? I was going to say what? Another great hair day for Tom.
Oh no.
Yeah, I was. It was really? Kind of poofy. It was a lot of hair.
No.
Hair. It was 90s no. hair. Come on. No?
No. It, I don't know.
It was very poofy. It didn't have the whoop-de-whoop. Sometimes I would have a whoop-de-whoop, but it didn't
have...
Yeah,
there was no whoop-de-whoop. I like whoop-de-whoop.
Oh, you like whoop-de-whoop.
I like when there's a little bit of a wave going on, like a wave in the ocean.
I often have a wave, but...
Yeah, but this time...
This was more of like a...
This was more
Farrah Fawcett sort of.
Don't get mad. Thing. This was more Brillo pad is to me. It was okay. Like a cleaning pad esque, and I wasn't a fan of it.
Okay,
that's what I'm gonna say.
Okay,
I this is probably the only time I've ever noticed your hair looking like that.
Interesting.
Ever? Yeah. Interesting. So, and I
thought it was a good hair day. We're gonna
thought it was a good hair day.
We're gonna have to agree to disagree on this one.
We will.
Okay. Tuvix invites Kes on a date.
Yeah.
Out
in the corridor.
In the corridor. Yeah. Invites him on a date invites her on a date.
To make trillion crepes.
To make trillion crepes. But I noticed in that scene in the hallway that she seemed to make a shift from that sort of scared or, you know, dealing with her grieving. She seems to make a quick turn there and she sort of smiles. And then the next thing you know, they're walking into the mess hall and she's laughing, like she's giggling with him. Yeah. And I thought, wow, that was a quick turn.
Yeah. But when she walks up towards him though, she kind of treats him just like a work person or almost like an acquaintance, not, you know, definitely not her partner. Yeah. Right. So she's sort of accepted the fact that, okay, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But this is definitely not my Neelix. I'm just going to talk to you like normal. And of course, once she gets in the mess hall, there's that crazy giggling scene that I wrote down, what an odd laugh to have. Why was that there? I don't know. Maybe you can explain it, but maybe it's just because the scene you walk in and the mess hall is a mess,
it's a mess.
It's a complete mess. Hogan is trying to make his food. Everything's burning, right?
Yeah.
It's just horrible.
Yeah, it was. And by the way, you and I were extras in the scene, sitting in the back. I was like, oh, that's weird that we're there. But
you
we
look
there.
So bored, Robbie. I was looking at your face. You were just like, you were just looking around like, okay. Yes, we were extras.
Yeah. I wish we had had some comments there. I mean, it's funny because later on, and I don't mean this from a like an egotistical I wish I had lines kind of place, but I do feel like when we got to the end and Tuvix was sort of pleading on the bridge, you know, you're my colleagues, and he came down to Paris and he said, you're my friends, and he looks at Paris and Paris sort of looked down.
I know.
I rebuked him. Everyone rebuked him. It was a very awkward scene. No one.
Not me, because I wasn't there.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, when he said that line, you're my friends, I thought, well, I wish I had seen that in this episode. I wish I had seen Tuvix building more than just the Kes relationship, but starting to build other relationships so that in this moment where we're like, oh, we've all sort of gotten to know this new guy. And when he makes his big speech and walks around, he can bring up things that have happened in this episode. That's why I guess in the mess hall, it would have been nice to have had us have some more, not a ton of lines, but I don't know, anything.
Yeah.
You know, or when he's cleaning up for us to be walking out and saying something nice about him to suggest that all of us are getting to know Tuvix. I think that would have helped. Well, it would have made the end even more tragic, I guess.
But I think that's what that one montage scene sort of.
Oh my God, that montage. Right, that served that's, as like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, this is the bonding because you see him sit down with Harry. There's no dialogue. It's just Janeway talking, right? Her voice, her VO, her voiceover basically talking about how, you know, guess what? You know, his food is so much better than Neelix's. And guess what? He's figuring, and then, you know, that's probably where the bonding is happening.
That's true. Right. I forgot about the montage, and that's very rare for us on our show.
We don't do montages.
We never did montages. That was very rare.
Yeah.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Spring is in full bloom. Are your finances? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can build credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments, all with no annual fees or interest. With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime feels like progress. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Actually, there was a montage in Sacred Ground, that my first episode I directed.
Yeah.
There was a montage in there with Janeway doing all of her tests, but it was very
rare.
That
was written into the script or that you actually...
Yeah, that was written. That was written in... there was one of those pieces that I had pitched to them and we added, but otherwise that was all written. Yeah.
Let's jump back really quickly. So mess hall, Tom and Harry eating in the background. Tuvix places his hands on Kes's and it's very awkward because she is definitely not ready for this.
Yep.
Then we jump to the next scene, which is on the bridge. Janeway and Chakotay walk in and Tuvix has been there since 0400 hours. Yeah. He's been there since 4 a.m.
And he solved the problem faster than Tuvix said it would take 10 days.
10 days.
And exactly. Tuvix said, oh yeah, I'm done. It's done.
He had a hunch is what he said.
Yeah.
So that's what made him solve the, I'm going to see if I can say this. He solved the proximity detector glitch in the security subroutine.
Ooh. Nice.
There you go. Nice. So, and that was done way faster. So he's really fitting in.
He's really fitting in. He's using the skills and the strengths of both Neelix and Tuvok to be, you know, better, stronger, faster than both of them. So,
right. Right. So, and in that bridge scene was great because for me, it's just like, okay, Tuvok is so methodical. He's so Vulcan. He knows that he's going to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H to figure out how to solve this problem. And he has to do every single step to check where this problem is. But then because he has Neelix in him and Neelix is a little bit more go with the flow, Neelix is like, my hunch is that it's probably C. And that's all he works on, C. Yeah. So he gets it done within 6 hours as opposed to 10 days, right? Yep. So he's better for the merge, the hybrid is a better person than the two separated in a way. Right.
Absolutely.
So, so now we are now feeling feelings for Tuvix now. Yep. We're like, okay, we kind of like this guy. We really do.
Speaking of feelings, we jump to the planet and who's there, but Tom and B'Elanna. And I think that's maybe their first away mission alone together. Tom and B'Elanna.
No, there was no romance at all.
Excuse me. I handed her a flower away. I handed her a flower. How much more romantic can you get?
From the hydroponics bay. Like, these are the flowers from the hydroponics bay. Here, take it.
Okay.
All right.
You see what you want to see. Yeah, I want to see. Okay?
I see work mission. You see romantic first date. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah, they're down there doing that. And then we go to the sick bay and we see that all these unscrambling experiments have failed and this is going to be permanent.
Yeah. It's bad.
And Kes is in shock. That felt to me like, oh my gosh, Tim Russ and Ethan Phillips are going to be gone. Like, I really, of course, I know we did a lot more episodes with them, but in that moment, they sort of had me for a second. Like, they had me. I was like, this is really a sad moment. It's permanent.
Yeah.
Kes was so sad. And now we go to her lighting candles for Neelix and Tuvok.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the script itself, because, you know, the whole montage with the Janeway voiceover talking about how much better this hybrid individual was than the two of them separated.
Yeah.
And then also just working with Tom Wright, like off camera, this guy was just, he was awesome to talk to, consummate, professional, gentleman, witty, handsome guy, you know, like he had all these things going for him. That I gotta be perfectly honest with you. You shed a tear.
Why can't we keep him?
Why can't we keep this guy?
I think I like Tom Wright also, but I wish there was a way that we could have like split him, and it would have been cool to have Tom stay on as Tuvix and somehow extract the DNA to recreate.
Yes.
You know, both Tuvok and Neelix. And now you've got this crazy weird mashup that's kind of better than both of them. I don't know. That could have been fun. And I agree with you. I like Tom. He was a good guy.
All right. Let's continue.
Okay. Bubba.
All right, Bubba.
Okay. So this is permanent, and she's lighting a candle. She's grieving, and Tuvix comes in, and Tuvix says he loves her.
He loves her.
Kisses her.
Yeah.
And when he leaves, she seemed to swoon. She seemed to be like, oh, the vapors.
You got the swoon? I got the freak out. I thought it was the freak out because.
Yeah, I don't know. Huh. It was like a dramatic sort of, I thought it was the vapors. I thought it was like the vapors.
Okay, it might be. She got swept up in the emotion of it, probably. But yeah, I really felt that.
Confusion of it probably as well.
Well, yeah, because of that line that he says, the doctor says it may take years to figure this out, how to get Tuvok and Neelix back, which may be a lifetime for you, is what he says. That is the extent of the Okampan. You'll be dead. Okampan life span, right? Well, and so she she's like, oh my God, a kiss. And then she freaks.
Okay.
You thought it was swooning. I felt it was more freaked out.
Well, she does go to Janeway's quarters to get some answers. Mm-hmm. Janeway gives a big speech about feeling disconnected to the one we love. And you can tell that she's really empathizing with Kes here. And I thought Kate did a really good job in that scene, actually. I loved the way she played that scene with Kes. It felt very grounded and real and personal. And I did remember as we rewatched this episode, because my trailer was right by Kate's, and I would hear from her sometimes if she had strong feelings about episodes. And she really struggled with this episode.
Hmm.
I remembered as we were watching it, I remembered how she was very worried about this episode as an actor and for her character, that this put her in a no-win situation. She was very concerned about it. So I thought the way she played that scene with Kes in the quarters was very simple and very personal, very authentic. And I think it was the struggle. She was trying to kind of understand and justify where the story was headed. So.
And I think that's probably the most authentic that Janeway has been up to this point. I mean, if you think about it, you know, the lines that she had, you know, do we accept that we're separated from our loved ones forever, or do we hold on to the hope that someday we'll be with them again? And then Kes asked her, well, how have you dealt with this? And she says that some days she's full of hope and optimism. Other days she dreams about being with Mark, but when she wakes up and realizes that it's a dream, she is terribly discouraged. And like, you don't hear Janeway talking like this.
Yeah.
It's a nice scene. It's a great scene.
We get our montage that we talked about, which is very rare for us, but I thought very well done. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe, like I said before, that Janeway takes a shot at Neelix's cooking.
Yeah.
My taste buds are definitely happy to have him around.
Yes.
Exactly. Taste buds.
All right. And now let's get to Harry practicing his clarinet. Wow.
Oh, God.
Wow. That was very impressive. That was a long sequence that you had to. You were playing in sync to a recording of that?
Yeah, the playback was done by my clarinet teacher. So it's his actual playback, but I am I am fingering all the notes correctly, you know,
in sync,
in the correct timing, in sync. Yeah. Like I said before, it was a very stressful time. Anytime I had to do a clarinet scene, I do not remember that I had a clarinet scene in this particular episode, but obviously I did. But it just stressed me out because I'm not a clarinet player, and I wanted to make it look realistic to anybody watching who happens to play the clarinet or the saxophone. They would have known if I was faking it, you know, and really stressed out, because while you guys are all just lounging in your trailer, I would have to sit there and learn this darn clarinet piece. But thank you for
I thought it was great. I thought it was really good. Really good.
Thank you so much. The doctor calls in. He has a theory.
Right? Yes.
And Kim is so excited, he runs down there and stops playing. That was me being excited to not having to play clarinet anymore. I was like, I'm going to run down to sick bay now. Bye. We jump to Sandrine's.
Yeah, we go to Sandrine's. Tuvix is a pool shark, clearly.
Yeah, he is clearly a pool shark.
He's just better at everything than everybody. Kes shows up. Very awkward date. She says, ultimately, she says, I just want to be friends. And and he's kind of disappointed. And she's like, and, you know, let our friendship grow.
Yeah. So she's willing to take it very slowly.
Very slowly. And then he's like,
she's open.
Yes, he's optimistic.
Yeah. They hold hands without her freaking out.
It's just friendship. It's just friendship. It's just, we wanted to grow our friendship into more friendship, but friendship, friendship, friendship. Yeah. That's what I kind of heard there. So.
Well, I kept thinking, since he's so much better at pool, he's better at cooking, he's probably better at lovemaking, is what I thought. I thought, you know, this might be an upgrade for Kes.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
But then we've spoken before. We don't even know if these two have ever even had any type of physical
we don't know.
Intercourse. We don't know that. We don't.
We really don't. We never will, for sure. So we also find out after this that the doctor and Harry have solved it. They figured out how to do this isotope thing. But we also see that Tuvix doesn't want to die. We realize that hits him in this scene.
And that was jolting. That was really jolting.
Yeah, it was.
Because, you know, he's kind of sitting there and he blurts it out. He goes, I don't want to die. And it just, that's when you start realizing this person is an individual separate from the other two. He's totally has his own, you know, everything is different, really. It's the same, but yet it's different.
Yeah. There was a Janeway line. I don't know if it was in a voiceover. Or I can't remember, but she said, at which point did he become an individual and not just a transporter accident? And I thought that was a very well put line, you know, and a great Star Trek line, you know.
It is. Then the arguing goes back and forth, the debate, you know, I'm the captain, so I should make this decision. Tuvix says, this is my life, so I should make my decision, this decision. Tuvix says, I keep wanting to say Tuvox. What the heck? Tuvix says that Janeway would be ordering an execution and that I have the right to live.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting in that it was a great sort of almost a courtroom scene between Tuvix and Janeway, sort of arguing this logic war back and forth. And I thought Tom, again, did a great job of bringing out kind of Tuvox logic and intellect, and at times he needed it, having Neelix sort of present himself and being very emotionally compelling. And so I thought Tom did a great job, and the scene was well written. It was great.
Let's settle this right now. Okay. Yes. Tom Paris, B'Elanna, Harry Kim pairing. Now, if you, Tom and B'Elanna, got merged in a transporter accident, you would be either T'Elanna or Bomb.
Bomb. Okay.
Now, if Harry and B'Elanna got mixed in a transporter accident, it would be H'Elanna or Barry.
No.
I think that's what, that flows better. Barry or H'Elanna, more so than Bomb. T'Elanna or Bomb. Right?
No, Tom and B'Elanna are the Bomb. You can't beat the Bomb, baby.
All right, you guys are the Bomb. Okay.
Tuvix ends up asking Kes, like after this logic war and this debate with Janeway, he goes to Kes, which is just heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And Kes comes in, you know, to Janeway, and just realizes that she has a great deep breakdown, and I know that that had to have had an impact on Janeway's decision. Tuvix is back on the bridge. You have this moment of Janeway just sitting alone in her quarters, or in her ready room. And then she gets up and starts to walk out, and the end game begins. And it's just it's heartbreaking. You know, Tuvix is freaking out and running for his life, and Jim has to call security. And I think that, I guess for better or worse, Janeway realized the importance of what she was deciding to do and her decision and all, and took full responsibility, did the procedure herself. She does every, you know, the doctor says, I'm a doctor. I cannot do something to cause harm that would kill Tuvix. And so she says, give me the injection. She does the injection. She does the procedure. It was just heartbreaking. It was really sad. Really, really sad. And by the way, and then when it does start, they start the medical transport or whatever, surgical transport. It almost looked for a minute like there might be three of them. You know, there was like Tuvix is sitting in the middle, and then the other two start coming on the side. And then it's like, wait, is there going to be all three of them? Is there going to be, maybe there's going to be three Tuvox, or maybe there's going to be three, like they're going to end up with a wrong combo. Yeah. It's like a shell game of what are you going to end up with?
Well, yeah, but we almost got what we wished for, which is both Tuvok and Neelix back, and Tuvix.
And still. Tuvix sitting in the middle.
I want to give a shout out to when back on the bridge, when Tuvok has had the debate with Janeway, he goes on the bridge, he goes to the tactical station, and he relieves the individual at tactical, who is one of our longtime background actors, and that's Louis there. And that's, I just remember while I'm watching that, like Megan was like, who's that? I go, that's Louis. So,
that's Louis. Yeah, he had Louis act for a minute. Louis had to like stop and look.
He had to stop.
And what am I going to do? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I wasn't sure about like, oh, I was just watching Janeway on the bridge as she's standing behind Tuvix, who's starting to freak out and plead to everybody. And she's just giving this, it's just a very kind of evil looking look. Oh, it's cold. It's like, you're still going to the death, you know, chamber, the gas chamber kind of a thing. And it was really, I just don't know if there was another way that could have been conveyed, or how that could have transpired, you know, or if she could have chose some other way of acting that particular. So reaction. Cause it that bugged me. I didn't like that look on Janeway.
Well, she was determined to, like, this was not easy for her clearly. And she was determined to see it through.
Right. But it didn't look like she had any humanity at that point though. Yeah. Right. There wasn't any struggle. The only struggle I saw is after she leaves sick bay, after the deed is done, they're separated. You see her break down for a split second there. And she grieves about what she did and maybe has second thoughts. And that's the only time that she showed her humanity. Like, but on the bridge, she was, you know, but maybe that's the way she had to be as the captain. She had to make the decision and get it done. Right. Yeah. And so she had to be cold, but it bugged me. I don't like seeing Janeway cold. Like,
I know. I agree. It was hard to watch. It was hard to see. I think they put Kate Mulgrew in a very tough position for this character to have to play this story. It was a lose-lose.
What kind of lesson do you think that you could extract from this episode?
I think the two kind of themes or lesson that I took from this is, one, sometimes there aren't any winners. That was one lesson for me. Mm-hmm. Is in some situations, there is no winning choice.
Okay.
And the other lesson for me is leadership is hard. What Janeway decided to do, no one else was in the position to do, and I don't know if anyone else could have done it. It was a very hard thing to be done, and she did it. Leadership is hard.
Well said. I agree with you on both points.
Nice. So. Awesome. Okay. Well, that was fun. It wasn't fun, actually. It was tough. But I'm glad.
That's your normal response at the end of all our podcast episodes. That was fun. And you're like, no, that really wasn't fun.
That one wasn't so fun. That one wasn't so fun, but it was.
That one was difficult.
Fascinating to watch, and my memory was definitely cleared up on a lot of things that, because I thought I knew more about that episode than I did. And so great to watch.
Agreed. And like I said before, it ended so abruptly. She leaves sick bay and it's done. That episode is done. Run the credits. And it was like, give me a little bit more. But hey guys, we're really lucky to have writer Lisa Klink to answer a fan question regarding Tuvix.
One question, Lisa, that the fans had was, For Tuvix, this is a very controversial episode. It was especially damaging to the character of Janeway. Were there any worries about how audience would judge Janeway?
Obviously, it's a moral conundrum. I mean, we really wanted to make it as difficult a decision as possible. And by doing that, we knew that whichever decision she made, somebody would disagree with it. Which is fine, actually. I mean, she doesn't have to be, you know, not everybody has to love her in every minute of the day. You know, we really wanted this to be thought-provoking.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you think there was any difference in the decisions they made about things?
We really
like this
tried not to have that make any difference whatsoever,
as opposed to a male captain.
You know, we like even during the show and as we were writing the scripts, you know, people never draw attention to it. You know, it's in that universe, it's not unusual. It's not notable in any way.
Right. 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 Yeah, it's funny because my memory. About Kate as an actress when she was doing the show was she was very aware constantly that this was the first female captain addressing this issue, you know, whatever the episode issue was, in this case, sacrificing a life for two others. So I think, you know, my memory of Kate is she always filtered it through at least not just the lens of she's a Star Trek captain and the authority that has and all of the angles that might, you know, bring up, but she also filtered it through the idea that she was a female captain and that there might be, you know, she would at least question, like, is there an angle in my performance that I can bring that would be a uniquely female experience or perspective, or, you know, perhaps I certainly remember that as an actress. But it sounds like they tried not to, like the writer from a writer place.
Yeah, we definitely, because we were sort of imagining this great future in which there are an equal number of female and male captains. And so it really, you know, would not be unusual at all.
Right. Yeah, it's funny. I was, you know, this idea of capital punishment or death or sacrificing a life. You know, I was just talking with somebody on another podcast about how sci-fi and Star Trek in particular is so uniquely suited for looking at these questions in sort of their purest form.
Yeah, no, I agree that Trek and sci-fi in general is a really good way to look at moral issues, because you can take it out of the specifics of a contemporary issue and look at it more in a general, you know, theoretical kind of point of view. Because we're never going to have to make the actual decision that Janeway made in this episode. But the issues surrounding it, you know, are very relevant.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Yeah. What's next week?
Join us next week. Next week will be, Robbie and I will be reviewing the episode Resolutions. Resolutions will be the episode we review. And for all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material.